I'm joined by Shashank Joshi, Research Fellow at the Royal United Services Institute. Shashank, last week when there were reports of Scud missile attacks, you said we should be sceptical. Do you think these reports are credible?
I think they are. I think there's very little reason for the US government to make such outlandish statements if they knew them to be false. What we may need to be careful about is asking, are they really Scuds? Some of the reports we saw last week indicated not specifically Scuds, but these were Scud-type weapons. And it's worth reiterating, Scuds are not a single class of missile. Not a single missile. They're a class of missiles, which includes many, many different categories, vastly different ranges, very different sophistication, and it's easy to confuse, perhaps, short range, certain types of artillery shells, for being other types of ballistic missiles. So it's possible, given the detection methods, mostly, I think, by satellite or other forms of detection, it's easy to confuse the specifics. But what's clear is something was launched. Some sort of missile was launched at this base last week, and again, something has been launched this week again.
You, at the time, you described it as spectacularly pointless. I think that was before we were aware that a rebel held base may have been targeted. Do you feel that the Assad regime is sending some kind of message by firing these weapons?
Well, I think I was perhaps a bit hasty in saying it was spectacularly pointless. These are primarily area weapons. They are useless for moving targets. They're useless for small hardened targets because they are simply too imprecise. But air bases, captured air bases, may actually be a reasonable target because they're reasonably sizable. And so if you fire six missiles, the chance of hitting a single base, depending on the missile's circular error probability, which is a technical term determining how many missiles will fall within a certain radius of a circle, it is actually not unreasonable. You have a fair chance of hitting a large sprawling airbase over which you perhaps don't want to fly planes. If you've been losing helicopters and planes recently, you perhaps don't want to send pilots out on missions when you have many, many more valuable targets elsewhere. And I think missiles are a useful way of reminding the outside world, look, we still have potentially several hundred of these ballistic missiles, and if they can land very, very near the Turkish border, well, they can also land within Turkey itself. And, although back in 2003, the Patriot system intercepted all nine missiles, ballistic missiles that were fired at Israel, I think it was Israel and Saudi Arabia, by Iraq. There were gaps, and the system hasn't been tested against full-blown Scud missiles in battlefield conditions. So Assad may be gambling well. This is a useful signal of deterrence against foreign intervention.
The Patriot missile system is going to be operational by the end of January, we hear, on the Turkish border. Are systems, have they improved since 2003? Will they be able to stop attacks over the border?
We don't know how the systems have improved. They've improved vastly since 1991, when the Patriot system was initially claimed to be very successful, and then later transpired it intercepted perhaps no missiles whatsoever, or a very, very negligible number of those. We've since then had many improvements. We have a new missile interceptor, we have new radar technology, new ways of detecting missile launches. I think the problem is no one really knows. And although, yes, it was successful back in 2003, we don't know. You know, Assad is reported by some sources to have cruise missiles. He's reported to have a very diverse array of missiles, and Patriot may be able to cope with some of those better than others. I mean, what's clear is a major campaign of strikes is unlikely, and I think Patriot would certainly intercept a decent number of missiles. But it only takes one to get through and hit a populated area or hit an airbase or something like that for there to be very significant political consequences, particularly in this context, if it has chemical armed warheads. Now, I still don't see any strong reason for Assad to use such weapons, but the capability does exist, and I think that it's only sensible Turkey and other NATO countries would prepare for that contingency.
The head of NATO, Anders Fogh Rasmussen, described the use of Scud missiles as a desperate regime approaching collapse. Is that something you agree with? Is that a fair assessment?
I think it indicates a changing military balance, certainly. I think it indicates the fact that, look, these missions, dropping bombs on a base can be done in a variety of ways. You can do it with artillery shells from nearby. You can do it with a plane dropping bombs. And there's a reason why Assad has chosen not to use aircraft for these missions now. Now, I suspect one of those reasons, although perhaps not the only one, is that his planes are being pressed for service in other areas where they're more desperately needed because of the sheer scale of the challenge for him now, and also because the rebels' ability to challenge aircraft using anti-aircraft weapons they had gleaned from foreign sources, from Qatar it's been reported, but also from air bases that they have previously seized, is growing greater and greater. And so the risks to pilots are getting higher, particularly if they fly dangerous missions and they are losing precision bombs and therefore have to use cruiser bombs and fly lower to deliver those. And so all in all, launching these missiles is a way of saying, well, you know, indicating perhaps we don't have the same control of the skies we did several months ago. Perhaps this is making itself felt, and we now are switching to a form of weapon which is safer to use for us, less accurate, but gets a message across, can deliver ordnance to the target, even if it mostly seems to miss, and doesn't cost us any pilots.
Anti-war campaigners are seeing echoes of the rhetoric now from the build-up to the Iraq invasion. Is that fair? Is there a momentum to some form of military intervention?
I think there's a few points there. First of all, I've seen a lot of people complain about the Patriots as a step to war in some fashion. Particularly the Iranians, of course, have declared that this is a precursor to World War III. And I've heard Russians talk about this in the context of the Cuban Missile Crisis. I mean, I think it's impossible to overstate how completely absurd such suggestions are. These are predominantly missile defense systems coping with, you know, very, very passive ways missiles aimed at them. Yes, they can target aircraft over Syrian airspace, but they're unlikely to be used for that purpose. It's worth stating here, each PAC-3 missile, the sort of missile, the most advanced missile Patriot has, is worth around $3.5 to $4 million. So it's ludicrous to use it up on a plane that costs an absolute fraction of that. I think on the other point, on the issue of chemical weapons, I think that there are grounds for skepticism here. There are really grounds for skepticism, particularly because all the leaks we have seen so far have been anonymous, particularly on the most inflammatory claims, those pertaining to the alleged mixing of precursors to sarin nerve agent. Now, if officials are only willing to speak off the record, there is a problem of accountability and reliability of the evidence. And so we would do very well, I think, to wait until we have further evidence corroborated by a wider range of sources, including, I think, those sources who are more distant from the issue, perhaps. So other European states, countries like Germany, I have seen talking about chemical weapons, the Czech Republic, countries that perhaps have less of a stake in this in a strategic sense and yet may be able to offer corroborating evidence. I think we should be listening to those carefully. I think it's also very, very important that we don't, as the legacy of Iraq, simply reflexively reject all evidence, particularly in this context where I think Western states have actually had no appetite for intervention for so long. And then I think is a final issue. Are we now seeing a change in the appetite to intervene? I'm not sure we are. I think we have seen suggestions or contingency plans. I think we have seen evidence that maybe Cameron, the Prime Minister, is keen that options be put on the table, even if his army is not. But still, I think people are still looking for reasons not to intervene rather than reasons to intervene. If we wanted a reason to intervene, there were innumerable pretexts to have done so without also having had to raise the specter of chemical weapons. So, you know, all in all, although I think we should be skeptical, I am not one of those who thinks this is a swirl of propaganda being thrown up in the air simply to allow an easy path for Western states to somehow assault Syria under false pretexts. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't be very much on our guard in how we assess these little bits of fragmentary evidence coming through.
Okay, Shashank, thanks very much.